What is the law of karma, and does it simply say that you reap what you sow? The law of karma, in a nutshell, states that a person's actions, thoughts, and words are actual experiences for which you'll receive reward or punishment. Actions, thoughts, and words that are good are said to be rewarded, and actions, thoughts, and words that are evil are said to be punished. Those who believe in the law of karma might say that people who suffer bad things in life have bad karma, called bad luck by others, who believe in the simple law of you reap what you sow. But is belief in the law of karma the same thing as belief in you reap what you've sown? No, it isn't. In fact, there are very sharp differences in these two belief systems. But it is becoming increasingly popular to assign the law of karma with, to align the law of karma with God's law of reaping and sowing that is found in scripture of the Christian Bible. Most believers in the law of karma state that it takes an individual several lifetimes to reach perfection in his or her actions, thoughts, and speech to eliminate any bad karma, and that if he practices certain religions and adhere to certain doctrines, such as various forms of yoga, that he'll eventually evolve into a perfect spiritual being, which is labeled as oneness with God. But there are some problems with this. If we say that all who are suffering are in their situations and conditions because they have bad karma, we're essentially assigning guilt to everyone who suffers. And does this accurately reflect the teachings of the Christian Bible on the reason or the reasons for suffering? If we look at scripture, we have to answer that question in the negative, because God's word clearly addresses various reasons for suffering in this present world, and it does not automatically accuse the suffering of reaping bad or bad karma, having bad karma for having done bad or evil deeds. The Apostle Peter spoke of various reasons for suffering. Sometimes, he says, he explains that sometimes it's caused by a person's conscious decision to do evil. He even names some of the evil deeds that man does and explains that these deeds invite suffering into an individual's life. He mentions the deeds of theft, murder, and meddling into the affairs of others as examples of actions, thoughts, and speech that can bring suffering. Peter also teaches that some people are suffering because they are a Christian, they are a believer, they are being obedient to God. Because he wrote, and this is these are the words of the scripture of 1 Peter 4th chapter verses 15 through 16, the King James Version of the Bible. Peter said, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." So that we can clearly see that some suffering is simply because of choosing to live according to God's law instead of according to the laws of the land, which are almost always in opposition to God's law. So we see a major conflict here with simply looking at anyone and saying that if they suffer, they have bad karma. We know also that entire groups of people invite suffering on themselves when they persist in rejecting God and in serving idols. The scripture of Psalm 16:4 warns, and this is the exact reading of the scripture. It says, "Their sorrows shall be multiplied that hasten after another god." So we also see here, simply by choosing to reject God, an individual, a group of people, a very large group of people can invite suffering to themselves, having nothing to do with bad karma, bad luck, anything with a past life, but simply with the choice that they made in this present life to reject God. We see other reasons in God's word for which some people suffer. They include suffering as a result of the careless or wicked deeds of others. They include suffering by direct punishment from God, and even as a form of being what believers might describe as being molded or shaped into the vessel that God is calling for someone to be. And scripture even speaks of suffering simply because of the fallen condition of the world. So the law of karma and belief in bad karma is in plain disagreement with scripture of the Christian Bible and is not the same thing as reaping what you've sown. Millions of adherents to the law of karma believe that there are four types of suffering, that union with God through the practice of these various religions originating from the East will eliminate, and those four types of suffering are birth, sickness, old age, and death. Again, there is serious disagreement between the teachings of the law of karma and those of God's word, because the Christian Bible does not teach that a man can escape birth, that he can escape sickness, old age, or death by practicing the things or adhering to the doctrines behind yoga or any other belief system. God's word does not even say that these things can be avoided for the Christian in this present world. So what does the Bible say about birth, sickness, old age, and death? If we look at the scripture of Hebrews 9:27, we read, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." This is only one of several scriptures in the Christian Bible that refute belief in reincarnation. If a man is appointed to die only once, he will live in this present earth only once, because he can never be reborn. So why should he attempt to escape rebirth, something that doesn't happen in the first place? So the idea of being reborn physically multiple times is a falsehood according to God's word. Complete and perpetual freedom from sickness while in this world is also not a realistic expectation, at least not according to God's word. Because although God healed and continues to heal his people, obviously they don't always escape suffering, the illnesses that plague man. God's word never automatically accuses everyone who falls sick of having bad karma or even of being in wrong standing with God. The scripture of James 5:15 reads, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Notice that scripture said if. If the person has committed sin, it doesn't say that we are to automatically think that everyone sick has committed sin. So why would we think that everyone sick has something that's called bad karma? Again, the Christian Bible reminds man that, and this is taken directly from the scripture of Ecclesiastes 11:10, says childhood and youth are vanity. So it's vanity. Those things are vanity because if a man continues to live, he will do one or the other. He will either grow old or he will die. This is why childhood and youth are vanity. There's no middle ground. And if a man keeps living, he must go through these two types of, quote, sufferings. He will get old first if he keeps living, and eventually he will die. The prophets of the Old Testament, the servants of God in the New Testament, and the servants of God in these modern times are growing old and they are dying. The same can be said for practitioners of any and every other religion, because who can say, even after the what believers in the law of karma would term or would describe as perfect practice of those various forms of yoga or Hinduism or any other belief system or doctrine that is to be followed to escape those four types of suffering, who can say that he or she has escaped birth, sickness, old age, or death? So the law of karma is not in agreement with the law of Christ, and all that is in disagreement with Christ is antichrist. That is according to the scripture of Matthew 12:30.